The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 3, text number 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on May 28th, 2008, in New Govardhan, Australia.
So it's certainly a great delight and wonder to be back here in New Govardhan. Of all of you wonderful Vaishnavas, we're very happy. My wife, Vishnupriya Mataji, and I are very happy to be back here. Thank you very much for so kindly receiving us here. Today we're diving into the sweet nectarian ocean known as Srimad Bhagavatam. 4th canto, chapter number 3, text number 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Satyuvacha Prajapateste Svasya Rasya Sampratam Niryapito Yajna Mahotsavakila Vayam chatratha visharama vamate yad yartitami vibhuda vrajantihi. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Stati said, my dear Lord Shiva, your father-in-law is now executing great sacrifices, and all the demigods, having been invited by him, are going there. If you desire, we may also go. Purport. Sati knew of the tension between her father and her husband, but still she expressed to her husband, Lord Shiva, that since such sacrifices were going on at his father's house and so many demigods were going, she also desired to go. But she could not express her willingness directly, and so she told her husband that if he desired to go, then she could also accompany him. In other words, she submitted her desire very politely to her husband. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, just see how polite is this Vedic culture. Amazingly polite is this Vedic culture. She won't even directly say, I want to go. She says, if you desire to go, then I will accompany. The whole Vedic culture is actually very polite culture. But this Mlecha culture that we are coming from, it is very impolite, rude culture. Crude and rude culture, you see. I remember Prabhupada one time, he appeared on the television in Gainesville, Florida. And the announcer said, Swamiji, how do we know if someone is Krishna conscious? Srila Prabhupada said, he will be a perfect gentleman. And we can talk philosophy all day long, you know, but when the bottom line is, are we gentle or are we rough? Really? Is it? I just noticed in your Pujari room you have the wonderful 26 qualities of the Vaishnava posted there. I was thinking, this is a wonderful verse to memorize. But what is the sum and substance of those 26 qualities in the Vaishnava? He's a gentleman. A lady or a gentleman, you see. So this is the great quality of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, that He is creating ladies and gentlemen out of a bunch of ruffians. That is His great loving kindness upon us. He's pulling us out of this Mlecha culture, pulling us into this Vaishnava culture, where the dealings are very sweet and wonderful, very enlivening. You see, the association is inspiring, uplifting. That is the actual nature. The Sadhu Sangha. The actual nature of the Sadhu Sangha, it is very, very inspiring and uplifting. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastre Kai, Sadhu Sangha Lava Matra, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. By that association with the saintly devotees of the Lord, one becomes blessed with all perfection. That's a pretty amazing thing, actually. If you think about the yogic perfections, what austerities and penances they go through to achieve the Ashta Siddhis. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is telling us, actually all perfections. Of course, the supreme perfection is Prema Bhakti Siddhi. That is the supreme perfection. But Prabhupada actually explained that someone who achieves this city, all other cities are automatically there. You see. They follow like the shadow. If one has that Prema Bhakti city, then all other cities are coming automatically. So we do not have to endeavor doing the Ashtanga Yoga system to get some yogic siddhis. Simply if we can achieve this Bhakti siddhi, all other cities, they will come automatically. And how do you get Bhakti Siddhi? That is given. It's simply by the association of sadhus. So how much association do you need with the sadhus to get the perfection? That answer is given. Lava matra. You know how long is a lava? It's 1/11th of a second. And just see how powerful is the sadhu sangha. 1/11, of course it depends on the quality. Somebody can associate with sadhus for millions of years and not achieve anything if they're committing offense. But if one can qualitatively associate with a sadhu for even 1/11th of a second, by that 1/11th of a second's association, sarva siddhi hoi, all perfections can be achieved. Is this the opinion only of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami? No, he says sarva siddhi hoi, it is stated in all the scriptures. It is not a unilateral statement, you see. just by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Sarva Siddhi, through all the scriptures it is stated, confirmed, you see. So we are blessed by that association with the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the Supreme Sadhu, the Sadhu of the Sadhus, Prabhupada. We are blessed by his merciful Sangha. It is not that he is dead and gone. Otherwise, how this movement is going on? Because Prabhupada is still here. He is blessing us. So if we can take this dust from the lotus feet and his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, if we can put this dust on our head and accept this dust as our only foodstuff. Oh, you can take Vishadam too, that's all right. But you know the point. If we can take this dust from the feet of Srila Prabhupada as as our sustenance, then we can become sadhus. There's hope for us, mlechas, that we can also become sadhus. This is the real calling card of ISKCON, if you really want to know the truth. This is the calling card. This is the attractive thing that we have to offer the world. Because no one knows how to be truly gentle. No one knows really how to manifest pure loving relationships. Everybody in this material world is going on the platform, I love you, I love you, I love you. I want to get as much as I can out of you. And when I don't get out of you what I want, then I don't love you anymore. That's not love. That is simply lust. You see? Love means to give without any thought of receiving anything. That is love, you understand? Without getting anything back, I love you. You see, that is love. Not that, oh, I love you, honey. What can I get out of you? That's simply cheating business. Hypocrisy. So, from such great sadhus as Srila Prabhupada, the greatest of all the sadhus, you see, we can get some understanding, some realization of what does it mean to actually be a loving, gentle person. There's nothing sweeter than a sadhu, actually. If we can get the sadhu's association, then we become inspired to chant Hare Krishna. We become inspired to bow down to Krishna, who is manifested here so wonderfully. We become inspired to give our whole life in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Just by this wonderful, loving kindness of the sadhus. When we actually learn how to love Krishna, then we will truly love all living entities. This is the difference between Majjhima Adhikari and Kanishta Adhikari. The neophyte devotee, Kanishta Adhikari, he's very respectful to the deity, but very rough with the devotees, you see. Rough, rude with devotees. That's called Kanishta Adhikari, materialistic devotee. But a devotee who knows how he loves the deity, he loves the darshan, the service, to hear the glories of the deity. But at the same time, he has equal loving feeling towards the Vaishnavas. That is called Majjhima Adhikari. He is advanced devotee, you see, Majjhima Adhikari. He always wants to serve. You see, what does love mean? We use the word love very cheaply. I love you. I love the Vaishnavas. But love actually means service. The symptom of genuine love is a mood of service. If there's no service mood, There's no love, actually. There is no love. There's no service mood. Simply propaganda. Oh, I'm a loving person. You see? But real love means I want to serve you. That is actual love. Oh, they have one word, lip service. I serve you on the lips only. Is it? So the more we can actually manifest the mood of loving service for Vaishnavas, you see. That is what it means to be gentle person, kind-hearted, loving person. The more that loving mood is there, as shown by service activities. This is how we get the mercy of the sadhu. This is how we get mercy of the spiritual master, the great acharyas, you see. By serving them. Sincerely trying to serve them. That's how we become the full recipients of their mercy. That's why it's stated, tadvidi pranipatena paripashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. If I simply hear from the spiritual master and there's no service, then all I can get is some jnana. But I can't get any vijnana, you see, any actual realization. Actual realization comes when I render service. That's when the realizations come. As Prabhupada explains, don't take the knowledge gratis. Gratis means take it freely without giving any service, you see. Don't take the knowledge gratis. You must render service. Pariprasnena sevaya. Krishna says, you serve the sadhus. So to the extent that I serve that spiritual master, you see, to that extent I actually realize the truth that he is explaining. So the supreme spiritual master is His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We have a society dedicated to serving Him. So we should, if we want to get the full realization of these wonderful, wonderful, sublime teachings that He has so kindly given to us, then we have to completely throw ourselves 100% into serving His mission with our every thought, our every word, and our every deed in all times, places, and circumstances. Is this some kind of a part-time thing? You know, like a job? You know, 9 to 5? When Prabhupada started this movement, did he, you know, he gave his lectures and then sometimes he would go uptown and catch a Broadway show? Did Prabhupada ever do that? He was in New York, the home of so many wonderful theatrical performances. Did he ever take an evening off for the theater? An ordinary materialist would think, well, this is some kind of a job, and then on my time off, I'll go for entertainments. You see? No. Like a priest, they will do their priestly duties according to what their boss expects of them, so they get their paycheck, but then the time off, they go for the theater and this and that. It's a job, you see. Well, Krishna consciousness is not like that. Krishna consciousness is a way of life, not a job. Krishna consciousness is an awakening of the dormant, enlightened consciousness which has been sitting there within the heart for millions and millions of lifetimes. Just waiting to wake up. Just waiting to be born, you see. Did you know that you've been Krishna conscious for millions of births? But it was just below the surface the whole time. You've always been Krishna conscious. It's just been buried beneath lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Kama, krodha, lobha. Mada, moha, matsarya. It was simply buried, you see. So this Nama Sankirtan process, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is cleaning away this accumulated dust that we've gathered over millions of lifetimes of rebellion against the authority of that supreme, all-attractive, amazing, flute-playing boy, Krishna. Incredible what envy will do to pull us away from our actual constitutional nature of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. It's amazing what envy can do to mess up your life. We have really been royally devastated by this disease of envy. It's a very heavy cancer which has infected our heart. But we have the supreme chemotherapy to completely take away all of that cancer. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes. I'm really hard of hearing, so someone may have to come and say it in my ear. That's how bad it's getting. But I'll try from a distance here.
I have a question, but it's related to this morning's reading.
Okay.
Namamrita.
Oh, the Namamrita reading, okay.
You read that Prabhupada was saying that the vibration of the holy name is not different from Krishna, and mm-hmm. therefore, as soon as it is uttered, then Krishna is there.
That's right.
Something along that line. I've also heard that depending on who utters the holy name, say there can be more or less quality of the chanting.
That's right. If you hear from Mayavadi, it's loaded with poison.
Right.
It's covered with poison. It's hard to connect with it. That's right.
So does that mean that it's not only a qualification to perceive the holy name when the pure holy name is uttered, but it is also the quality with which it is uttered?
Both things are there. Prabhupada compares it to a man and a woman who are trying to have a child. You see, the husband has to be potent and the wife has to be potent. If either of them is impotent, then no child will come. So yes, the more that the speaker is potent, and the more that the hearer is potent, the more that you'll experience Krishna. That's the thing.
Although he's always there,
but if the speaker, even though Krishna is always present in the sound elevation, Krishna, if a Mayavadi says that there's so much envy that's, you know, it's coated with so much envy, it's hard to connect with it. Very difficult to connect. Although the Prabhupada did say that there, even when the Mayavadis chant, there is some benefit. We normally say that it's poison. But beneath that poison, the nectar is still there. It's just, you know, it's coated with so much poison. There is even effect. So there is some slight effect even on the Mayavadis chant, Hare Krishna. But all the poison's coming with it, of course. See, it depends. So we should be qualitative hearers, and we should always look for the opportunity to hear from the qualitative speakers. Because the more that the quality is there, both in the speaker and the hearer, the more you'll get the result. The more Krishna will become present. That's the thing. Any other question?
just one devotee once said that he reckons that all the devotees' problems are caused from inattentive chanting. All the problems that devotees have.
Why don't you come and tell me in my ear? I'm really, this body's really getting old and worn out here. My ear. Or come closer.
Someone once said that all the problems that devotees have,
Are the problems that you have in your life?
Yeah, of course, from inattentive chanting. He thought it was.
Inattentive chanting is the cause of all the problems that we have.
Yeah. Is it, you think that's true? Could be true. There's some truth in that.
Is there a truth? Yes. That's right. If we, inattentive chanting means you're being rude to Krishna. Just like if you're talking to me, and I'm going, yeah, and I'm thinking about something else. That's the Vaishnava Aparadha. Here you are trying to talk to me, and I'm going, yeah, and I'm thinking about something else. I don't know what word you're saying, but I'm going, yeah, right, while I'm thinking about something else. So inattentive chanting is like that. Krishna is there, but I'm going, okay, Hare Krishna, but my mind is a million miles away. It's a very rude thing. So if I'm offending a Vaishnava, for example, by feigning interest in what he's saying, but not really giving a damn about what he's telling me, that will spoil my relationship with that Vaishnava. I won't have a good relationship with him. And then I will suffer reactions for Vaishnava Prabhupada. So the same thing with neglecting the holy name. See, we are actually duty-bound to suffer so many reactions from our previous sins. We don't come clean to this particular birth. We come laden with so many dormant, not yet manifested reactions for past sins. So if we go on committing more sinful activities, more offenses, then we're just going, not only will we get the reactions from our previous sins, but we'll be accruing more reactions to get more trouble, you see. So therefore, we should be very careful to be very pure in all of our dealings with Vaishnavas, with the holy name, etc., because this will not only free us from getting new reactions, but it will help us to become free from our previous sinful reactions. It will lead us into a carefree Vaikuntha-esque existence by being very careful to purely chant the name. We live in Vaikuntha. We can actually be living in the spiritual existence at every minute, even though the body is situated here in birth, death, old age, and disease. As Prabhupada, as I mentioned last night, Prabhupada explained in the Los Angeles that deathlessness begins at initiation. You actually achieve immortality. You don't have to wait to go back to Godhead to achieve immortality. You can actually achieve immortality right here, right now. Just get initiated and be fully dedicated to serving your spiritual master's instructions. By doing that, you're already living in transcendental existence this very minute, you see. So, but as soon as we neglect the order of the spiritual master, we don't attentively chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we don't properly respect Vaishnavas, as soon as we do this, then where do we end up? Instead of in Vaikuntha, we live in Kunta, the place of anxiety. There's two. You either live in the Vaikuntha world or the Kunta world. One who is neglectful to the holy name, one who is neglectful of Vaishnavas, they live in the Kunta world, the world of anxiety. And those who are properly respectful to Vaishnavas and the holy name, they live in the Vaikuntha realm. It's a big difference between Kunta and Vaikuntha. Big, huge, humongous difference between the two. And one can live in that Vaikuntha realm at every minute. You simply take shelter of the spiritual master, surrender to him, follow his instruction, get initiated, be very obedient to the orders you've received from the spiritual master, who's representing the supreme spiritual master, Lord Sri Krishna. If one follows this pathway, the great Mahajana is very carefully. Mahajano yena gutasapanta. If one follows that pathway, then oh, the life becomes so sublime, becomes so wonderful, inconceivably wonderful. So any last question? I'm a little over time, I know, but I'll have one more question, then we'll stop. Yes.
What does it really mean to put your heart into your service?
And your heart into
service.
Yes.
What's
to put your heart into the service means just like, let's say you're walking along the edge of a cliff, and somehow or other you were inattentive and you fell off a cliff. Not a very nice way to start the day, but you know. You just fall off a cliff, but on your way over the edge of the cliff, you were very lucky, you just happened to fall by some branches, and you grabbed onto the branches. Somehow or other you got a grip on those branches, you're hanging off the edge of a cliff. Now that, and how tightly you hold onto those branches, you see. You see the cliff, there's certain death below, and the rocks will be smashed to smithereens in the rocks below. Now that's called putting your heart into it, you see. How tightly you really put your heart into hanging onto that branch. Your heart will really be into it, completely, totally into it. That's called putting your heart into it. So we may think, well, I'm not in such a precarious situation. I'm not. But actually, we are in such a precarious situation. We were falling over the cliff, going down to the lower species, you see. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, you see, somehow or other, we got a hold of a branch. And that is called devotional service. So, doing it with all your heart means doing your service just like you're hanging under that branch, that this is my life and soul. That if I let go, I am a dead man. I'm finished. That's what it means to do devotional service with your heart and your heart and soul. You understand? Yeah. All right. So, I thank you all very much for so kindly hearing this sublime message coming not from me. I'm just a croaking toad. This sublime message coming from the great acharyas. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.